We had a collaboration with some Chinese scientists.
Here we have a vaccine. What is the problem? Get over it.
Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
I hope that it can occur in a civil way. I mean civil in a special way, peaceful.
The biggest question, maybe in economics and politics of the coming decade, will be what to do with all these useless people.
I just see the need for such a dialogue, and I see the need for action. I see the need for a great reset.
We are 1,473 days into 14 days to flatten the curve. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Johnny Anderson alongside Bruce Adams for Tech Tuesday. How are you, Bruce?
I'm healthy and alive, doing well.
Excellent, excellent. You ready to go to the moon?
Yeah, actually, I would like to.
You would like to go to the moon? What would you do up there?
Actually, I would like to be part of a colony force, but more realistically, given age and everything, I would just like to visit, even just to be there, walk on the moon, and then come home. I'd be fine with that, too.
Well, do you plan on doing any shopping while you're up there?
I mean, it'd be a little difficult. There's no stores right now.
Well, how can you say that? That there could be some stores up there. Yeah.
Martian,
you never know.
Alien. Yeah.
Yeah. No. How about Nike? Would you shop for Nike while you're up there?
If they had
a store that wasn't looted by Black Lives Matter, I mean.
I'm not too big of a fan of Nike personally. But putting that aside, if there was a shop up there, sure. I would get a souvenir from the room.
A souvenir. Get you a pair of Air Jordans. Yeah, sure. Nike has said that they have they've got a moon rover that they're going to launch in 2026 that will offer the brand's opportunity to advertise their products on the lunar surface. They're actually going to have a rolling billboard for Nike going around on a rover. I'm not making this up.
I mean, with colonization and everything, when you start getting off planet and you start going out to just space in general, it doesn't even have to be on a moon. Do the laws here on Earth apply?
That's a good question. That's a good question, comrade. I guess we're going to find out once we get there. Yeah,
this will be the new frontier, the new Wild West.
Yeah. There are some other brands that are going to get in on this, namely Audi, Under Armour, Coca-Cola, of course, Google, Amazon, and BMW.
You know, I don't like the idea of having more advertisement everywhere, but at the same time, if this gets us into space and gets us exploring out there more, what's a little bit of advertisement we can ignore?
Yeah, sure. And you got to have funding coming from somewhere, so you're going to have to have these companies. This is a concept released by Ad Astra, which is a lunar colony. Ad Astrolab. I'm sorry, Astrolab. They're aiming to create a rover on the moon by 2026. This is their concept art. This is what it looks like. I mean, that you can see that, you know, they've got a great concept. They're getting ready to roll. This is not a joke. They're actually serious.
So a taxi service on the moon with rovers, and it's going to have like an LED lit up side panel advertising. Yeah.
With Apple and Google. You see Apple's up there, you know, on the fender there, and then Google. You even got the spare tire on the front. You see that?
Yeah. It's comical, but at the same time, I could see something like this being the future.
They say that the ads could potentially be displayed on the side of the rover, which has been designed to transport humans and materials around the moon. The company's founder, Rob Noble, the founder of Group of Humans, told the Times that Times of London that the brands in sectors including telecommunications, construction, and art could benefit from the lunar ad program. The firm developed a lunar charter that all participating brands must sign, which sets out a commitment to the betterment of life on Earth. Brands can really stand out as a matter of result of putting, as a result of putting themselves in the situation where there is no atmosphere and limited gravity. You're exposing your products to all sorts of extremes that will help you learn while proving to customers that it is really strong.
Okay, so first of all, by 2026, who do you think is going to be on the moon as far as citizenry? If let's assume, for example, we have a base there by 2026, that's really pushing it, but let's assume we do. We have a colony there. The only people that are going to see those ads are the people on the colony or the ultra, ultra wealthy that are going to visit. That's the only ones that's going to see it. And the ultra wealthy, what do they care? They're eating iguana or some nonsense like that.
Zuckerberg,
Android dude.
Yeah.
So I don't see the point yet. We need more people on the moon first, like a colony or something, to really kick it off. Unless they're like sending their products on the moon and showing, you know, like as an extreme, like temperature change or exposure to radiation or I don't know, zero G or I don't know.
You could get Under Armour and probably Nike or somebody, you know, one of these clothing companies, you get them involved in a new space suit. There you go.
Honestly, there's something I wish these companies would take up as kind of like, or maybe this would be a trend that I think should take off, is some kind of like Under Armour clothing that you wear underneath the rest of your clothing that has temperature regulation. That would be fantastic. Like it's something similar to what astronauts wear, and they have literally liquid cooling or liquid heating. Either way, they have a liquid running through their interior. That'd be great.
Okay, this is not a, sorry to interrupt, this is not a concept. They've actually built it. This is the actual prototype, and they've actually tested it out, or they've tested this out in Death Valley. That's where our test facility kind of thing is
where we take
simulate
those.
Yeah.
And they've actually built it. Places.
Yeah, they've actually built it.
I mean, it looks like it would do decently well. I have to say the wheels actually look a little small. Usually they do larger wheels because of the terrain. It can traverse the terrain a lot easier. However, if they're planning on this being in like a location that is colonized or what have you, maybe they're expecting the terrain to be more terraformed, you know, cleaned up, leveled out.
Maybe, yeah. Like that. Well, that's what we'd have to do first. We'd have to go in there and clean it all out. Did you hear that the Chinese and the Russians are actually looking at doing a nuclear power plant on the moon?
I mean, I honestly would... Nuclear power, that's going to be an interesting one because you've got to cool it. So you need... water would be an interesting one there.
Well, that's also what the Chinese supposedly, if they're actually up there, we don't actually know that they are for sure. I mean, we hear that they are, but they also have the largest space station in orbit that no one's ever seen.
Yeah.
So if we're to believe that they actually have a rover up there on the dark side of the moon and one of the polar regions, which nobody's actually able to do, we haven't figured that out yet, but yet the Chinese have, they're supposedly looking for water on the moon. That would be your cooling right there.
Yeah, but let's say you find the water and you can, let's say you have everything you need. The problem is the gravity. How are you going to store the water so that you can lose the temperature that it has, right? Again, you're in a void. So you can't air cool water. How are you going to dissipate the heat? So a nuclear reactor heats up water, right? It boils it, runs it through turbines, then it cools. How are you going to get rid of that excess heat? Because here on Earth, how that works is the air grabs the heat, right? And pulls it away or you know, it transfers into the air, right? You don't have air on the moon. So you're going to have heat sinks that are dissipating the heat in some other way. Infrared is one of the ways they do it. So it's definitely going to be some design challenges. Interesting idea, nuclear reactor on the moon. I mean, makes sense. You don't need a whole lot of fuel. You just need to get the water there. If you can figure out the cooling, having the water all stored in tanks would work. It's just you're going to have to pressurize it or something because low gravity, how does steam react in a low gravity environment? Water flows differently. There a lot of things are going to be different.
You're worried about all these things, Bruce. So you're worried about all these technical issues and scientific issues. You see, they're going to put a 5-year plan together and everything will be fixed. And it'll be a success before they even launch it. So it's fine.
You know, I am looking forward to the Chernobyl crater on the moon.
Yes. Yeah. Bigger than the Tsiolkovsky. Right. On to what could help get this all under development. DARPA, everybody's favorite research agency. Yeah. DARPA. You got to love them. They are looking at, they have contracted Northrop Grumman to do the first lunar railway system. So it's going to, according to the concepts, it's going to rival the American rail system that was put together in the early 19th century. We undertook one of the largest rail production, or one of the largest rail systems in the West at the time. The envisioned lunar railroad network could transport humans, supplies, and resources for commercial ventures across the lunar surface, contributing to a space economy for the U.S. and other international partners. It was one of 14 companies that DARPA selected in this past December to participate in a 10-year lunar architect called Luna 10. Capability study, which aims to help humanity extend its economic footprint into deep space. So there we go. Yeah, we're going to get a rail system all set up. There we go. We already got the people lined up. And quite honestly, I mean, Here's a company that's, I mean, they do develop some good stuff, and the things that they do develop, mm-hmm. we use and we rely on it. So, I mean, they are a defense contractor, but they could do a rail system too.
It'd be a perfect place to test out their the bullet train, you know, that whole newer systems they're wanting
that
to
is
do.
True with the low gravity. Yeah, with well, mm-hmm. you're in the vacuum, and with the low gravity, of course. You cut
I
down
mean, you're
the,
gonna you're gonna have the dust and everything to worry
yeah,
about.
Sure.
So you're gonna have to have it contained. But other than that, yeah, that would be a great
It'd be
place
a lot
to test
easier.
It.
It'd be a lot easier. You wouldn't have to keep the vacuum pressurized because you're already in one.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think the train system is a good idea. You're going to have some kind of transportation between colonies that are there. You're going to want some kind of connection. Yeah, I know China and Russia, they're not the greatest of allies. But you are going to need
partners.
Some kind of connection. Yeah, partners. You're going to need some kind of connection between those colonies, even though we don't typically get along well. If something goes wrong there, humans are still humans. We're going to help each other out in the end. So, I mean, they're probably less likely to help us. Maybe we shouldn't have any connection at all.
I wouldn't pick up the phone.
Maybe, you know, in
just
hindsight.
Like I said, yeah. I would not pick up the phone. Sorry, don't call us. We'll call you kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. But having it between our allies, or other companies, corporations, what have you. Manufacturing, transport. I mean, you've got agriculture, you've got energy, those kind of things. I mean, you know, if they're doing solar or something like that, or what have you, you're going to need some way to transport people to maintain those. You're going to need, you know, food. So you're going to have food and the right side of the moon. And so there's definitely a lot of things that a rail system would benefit a colony.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Bruce, do you like working out? You like exercise?
Sure.
Yeah.
Bit of a junkie, yeah.
Yeah, well, myself included. What would you think if we wouldn't have to do that anymore?
So based on, I wouldn't mind not having to do it. The problem is evolution. And that's, you know, taking out the religious side of things and everything. Evolution doesn't like massive changes very quickly. And going from needing exercise to popping a pill or whatever it is to get the same effect, I don't trust it.
How dare you not want to try this and get up off the couch, actually, or not get up off the couch. How about you continue to get that bag of potato chips and yeah, it'll be fine.
Yeah,
U.S. scientists are moving one step closer to an exercise pill. You couldn't make this up. Just an excuse to be a lazy person that gives you all the benefits of working out without moving a muscle. Isn't that great? Scientists at Washington University developed the medicine named SLUPP332. Catchy name. I'm sure they'll come up with I don't know, exercise you or something like that. It'll be something catchy.
Something,
you know, it'd be something. Yeah, the pharmaceutical industry, they'll come up with something real catchy for that. It could help stave off age-related conditions such as dementia and heart failure. And you see, it could have the same benefits of exercise, including muscle growth and performance, according to the study that they've done. The medicine can mimic the physical boost of a workout and potentially treat couch potato conditions like obesity and muscle atrophy. After decades of work, scientists at the Washington University developed a compound which activates specialized protein known as estrogen-related receptors, or ERRs, that are triggered by exercise. Professor Elgendi, whatever, professor of anesthesiology at the anesthesiology. I'll bet you've been taking too much of your own stuff there, lady. Said, which is the project's main investigator, everybody knows that exercise is super beneficial for the body and mind, but not everyone can exercise. Yes, you can. Get up. Yeah, it starts with you. Get up off the couch. Okay, get out of the recliner.
Unless you're like a quadriplegic or something.
Yes,
like
unless
that,
you're that. We will get to that in a second. Hmm. Having an exercise in a pill could be beneficial to mimic or enhance the effects for people who are aging, people with certain diseases, or who are facing muscle loss due to other drugs.
Based on our last story, though, with colonizing the moon, muscle atrophy, that one actually piqued my interest.
Fair point. Okay. At least it could lead to the development of therapeutics for some of the most challenging diseases we face nowadays, like neurodegenerative diseases and heart failure. Now, they say that they're not promoting replacing exercise. Of course, they are. That's what basically it's what it'll turn into. They're not promoting it directly, but that's what it'll turn into. But so many people like themselves, as they say, are lazy. They even say that they themselves are lazy. Are they one of the test subjects? I'm just curious. And don't like exercise, or they're busy all the time. So they could benefit from these drugs.
Yeah, interesting thing about being busy all the time. If you set up a schedule and schedule out your day, you'll find that you have more time in the day than you actually thought you did. Assuming you stick to the schedule.
I'm actually curious how this is going to go, because, you know, every time there's a pharmaceutical drug that they advertise, they tell you what it fixes and then they tell you all the other side effects with it.
Yeah.
So I'm curious. I haven't read the study yet. I'm curious to see what the study is going to be. But what are the side effects of this going to be? What are the possible ones we're already seeing in the trials, because they're testing it now?
Like I said, the only thing I would technically be really interested in is the muscle atrophy.
Yeah.
The other one that kind of is dementia. That one, we don't fully understand that yet. Science doesn't. So finding anything that would help with that might help us understand what causes it and how to fix it. So I'm looking at what that could be. But I don't know. Would it be so wrong? Let's put it this way. Let's say it's a couch potato, and let's say they're, 100 pounds overweight, and it's really difficult for them to get into the mood to exercise. Would having a drug that encourages them to exercise, is that bad? I mean,
so you're reversing it, having a drug that will encourage you to exercise instead of taking the drug that will make you exercise, as in like the drug will exercise for you. Well,
I can see the market for this. Possible, but
no, but I could see the market for this, because in the U.S. we actually spend more money on, as American consumers, we actually spend more money as a country per capita on weight loss products than we do on actual healthy food that will help us live better and, more healthy and productive lives. So we're already following this trend anyway. So why would this drug not be successful? They're already seeing a potential market for this.
Yeah, there definitely is a potential market. If it works and does what it says and it isn't like really dangerous, I imagine this is going to flood the markets and it's going to be a big deal.
Yeah. And they're going to charge $300 for a refill on it too.
Yeah, that's the, at least initially, that's what it's going to be
until it goes off patent and it becomes generic. But you know something? Your gym membership is still cheaper.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is the gym membership's cheaper. And honestly, the thing about being an exercise junkie, it's not so much, it is partly because of health and everything that is part of it. You want to keep yourself healthy. But the other thing about exercising is it helps you mentally, but it helps with like discipline. It helps create things that you're going to use in everyday life. Like your discipline, if you can set a schedule and, put it in place, do the exercise, push through the pain, that's going to help your discipline and help when your body says, hey, we want that extra slice of pie. It's a little bit easier to say, no, I don't. We're not going to have that slice of pie. I'm not going to have that candy or that shake or whatever.
What kind of pie? You didn't ask that. I mean, what kind of pie? It's just, it's one of those things. Anyway.
Yeah.
So the person that is the disabled person that is unable to work out, you got something on that, don't you?
Actually, there's a new I won't really say new. They're heading in this direction. The Neuralink, they're trying to push towards the solving like blindness. And there's a quadriplegic now that has one implanted. He's able to like send text messages, surf the web, play video games. I don't know if it's like really intense video games for the, you video gamers out there. I think he was playing Civilization 6. And like a typical video gamer, he was up to like 6 in the morning playing because... I mean, seriously, if you're a video gamer and then now you're a quadriplegic and you've been this for years and haven't been able to play video games in years.
Got to have something to do.
And then all of a sudden you can play it. Okay, I understand. 6 o'clock in the morning, I get it. But he's just using thought to control the game, to control the mouse and play the game. He's, you know, shown him playing chess and those kind of things as well. But the idea with fixing things like eyesight and fixing, let's say for his sake, he's a quadriplegic, you know. An exoskeleton suit, you know, something that, you know, servos and all that kind of stuff that allows you to think about moving your arm and it moves the arm. And so it would take the signals from your brain and turning it into digital information and allows you to, you know, do whatever. The eyesight one, basically what they're, my understanding of it is, they're planning to implant like cameras or you know, instead of eyes, so cybernetic eyes, and using the neural link as an interface to send the information to the brain. Right now, I think the only thing they can really do when it comes to eyesight is if there's like a neural degenerative disease to where the nerves, they basically fall apart or detach. We can fix that with surgery. There's also been in the past cybernetic implants that have returned people's eyesight, but that's because the nerves are there. Everything's in place, you know, as far as the connections to the brain and everything. What they're looking to do is, let's say there's somebody's born without eyes or without the nerves connecting the eyes. So they're completely blind and there's no way surgery can fix it. That's what this is intending to do.
Okay, so now we're on to the actual beneficial side of this technology. So, I mean, I've always been wanting to see the benefits of it as opposed to seeing the more sinister side of it. But this stuff is like a double-edged sword, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Okay, yeah, you can, you know, return somebody's eyesight or play video games or what have you, you know, or send text messages, communicate with people now. Definitely some good benefits. Well, let's assume for a second that they're able to build that exosuit or the eye implants or what have you. Okay.
I'll be honest. If we're going all Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, I want one. Just saying. I'll take one.
Not opposed. I'm not opposed to having some cybernetics. Definitely.
I will take the exo. I will take the exo just to, you know, kind of give me mm-hmm. that extra. Something you can take off, you know, not permanently fused to you.
Yeah, not something permanently. I'm kind of, if we can do something that's that fuses to you and your body will accept it and there's not any like major risks,
can't sleep, I might consider like that. You can't sleep like that. Are you gonna sleep sitting up? No. Or standing up? No. Well, actually,
if it's replacing the limb, as an example,
that's true. Like, okay. Well, yeah, kind of like the cybernetic, you know, that I was showing a couple of weeks ago with the girl that didn't have an arm. That's that's quite an advancement. You know, I have
that,
to say
that is,
and it's only going to get better. So I can see that.
But as it stands, I mean, this is kind of like extreme case, but. Because it's really expensive to do something like this. But let's say you make an exosuit that, well, for example, Iron Man, that whole concept of a suit of armor, basically, that's powered and it's ran by thought. That's something that could be in the future now because of this. There's definitely some risks involved with this. What happens at this point? Let's say the Neuralink is fast enough to keep up with your thought speed. Hackers could get access to this and hack faster.
Okay, that's a fair assessment. Now, here's my next question about this. This Neuralink thing we have now is about this size, right? This is a quarter.
Yeah.
U.S.
About
quarter.
The size of
okay,
quarter.
So it's about this size. And this has to be, if I'm not mistaken, they cut out a chunk of your skull and they put this mm-hmm. in there and then, you know, they shoehorn this bad boy in there. And that's, you know, you got the little, I guess, probes or whatever that attach in mm-hmm. into there. Now,
And my next shove question, that into your brain.
Yes, they just kind of, they shove that into your brain there. Now, here's my next question. What happens when you need an upgrade? What happens when this becomes obsolete and you've got Gen 2s, Gen 3s, Gen 4s, Gen 5, and so on and so forth, all the way up to whatever? You going to get your head cut open every single time?
I imagine it'll just replace the quarter is all you have to do. I imagine it'll be something on those lines and just use the probes that are already there.
Probes, but I mean, you're talking about like you couldn't go through all of that.
No. Personally, I'm not a fan of the whole probing the brain kind of cybernetic implant stuff. I don't like that. Talking about cybernetics and talking about the ones I'm okay with, if it's like, for example, in the case of someone that lost a limb, I'm totally fine with, let's say I lost a limb and having it cybernetically replaced. I'm totally fine with having the hardware attached to my body and connected to the nervous system. I am not okay with shoving new probes into my brain. I don't like that idea. It's just no.
All right. Do you have anything else today? Do you have another topic that you wanted to cover? I've got some AI stuff, and that's really about it.
I've got AI stuff. We kind of talked about this a little bit beforehand, and it fits in with cybernetics and everything with the way everything's kind of going robotic and everything. This is also something that we're going to need for colonies on the moon or any planet, really. Robots. Mercedes quote unquote hired a bunch of humanoid type robots. They're about 5'8" in height. And they weigh something like 160 pounds and they can lift 55 pounds. And they're hiring these, if hiring quotes again.
Yeah, hiring. Yeah. I love the term hiring. That's what I was going to ask about is we're hiring robots now.
Yeah. Which, I mean, hey, if you own a robot, that's something of the future. That's been one of the ideas that's been proposed is you buy one of these robots and the work that the robot does in the day, you get paid based on what your robot does. I got two robots.
Yeah, I got two robots vacuuming my house. How much am I getting paid?
Yeah. But these robots are going to replace some of the low skill, physically intensive labor right now. But this is something that we've kind of talked about, and it's going to replace a lot of the low skill entry level jobs. And what are you going to do? Like you're someone fresh out of high school or still in high school. You're trying to earn enough money to buy that first car or just go to the movies or something like that with your girlfriend, whatever the case is. How are you going to get a job if they're all taken by robots? What are you going to do? You're going to be an artist, a musician. You're going to be a streamer. You're going to be what are you going to do? You're going to create some kind of intellectual product that's going to sell. That's great. So are millions of other people around the world going to as robots start taking over and the market is going to be completely saturated. And at that point, good luck standing out. Good luck making money doing that. So this is definitely going to be like there's going to be jobs that are going to open up and we're going to really have to start finding new ways to make money as things go forward.
Well, do you think, okay, well, I'm just going to be a model. That's not going to work either because the modeling industry is about to go by the wayside. Now, the new thing for the modeling agencies and the runway shows, catwalks, whatever it is they do, where the companies like Victoria's Secret and Sports Illustrated and all the rest of it bring their new products out and all the clothing designers and everything. You don't need models anymore. No more of the women who eat a slice of lettuce once a week to keep their figure. But you know that's what they do. You don't have to worry about any of them slipping and falling or not having the perfect walk anymore because now we have AI-generated holograms, and they are going to walk out onto the catwalk with the new clothing line that is projected onto them, and that's going to be it. Bruce, you're nodding your head.
For the
fashion industry, it's a win. For the consumer and for the job market in modeling, it's a big fat zero.
I'm not surprised that this is happening. This has kind of been something we've talked about a little bit. On podcasts, but I've talked about this a lot with people behind the scenes in my circle. Voice actors. That's another thing AI is taking over is voice acting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you see that? Not real.
Yeah.
That's an AI-generated model. Same thing with that one.
And that's the thing is you're going to be able to create perfect. Well, that one you can actually tell is That you can tell.
Yeah, you can tell it's fake, but it'll get better over time. Yeah. And they will send them out. For example, they will send them out with one clothing line. And, you know, they have to take time in between the showings because the models have to go backstage and they have to change and do all the rest of that. Not anymore. Now you just hit the pre-program button and the outfit and the hairstyle and bam, they are right back out.
Yeah. Honestly, no surprise. I see that as being the future. We being in the human race has kind of predicted that in movies and books and all kinds of like video games, like these concepts have been around for a while. Now it's technology's catching up to the fantasy world, to science fiction. And I'm torn on this one because I'm not a huge fan of the whole like fashion industry and whatnot. It's a bit exploitative.
Speaking of exploitative, do you know who they're hiring to do a lot of these AI generated agencies? Do you know who they're hiring to come in and do these to create these fake models? Do you know who they're hiring to do that?
Let's hear it.
People from the porn industry.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Honestly, if you look at how the AI generated content has changed over just a year's time, this stuff is growing by leaps and bounds. The stuff we've seen in the early days of AI created content versus now, it is massively different. So what this is going to look like in 6 months when a new model of AI comes out, it's kind of scary. Honestly, you can create this is months old. You could take a video and photographs and make a photograph into a video. And they, at the time that I was reading about this, it's been a little while since I've read about this, they had figured out how to fix the jitteriness and the make motion smoother and cleaner. And in the it's just the stuff they're able to do now is actually pretty scary. They made it look real. I mean, it looked like it was a real. Now, granted, the video I seen was in black and white, so it's a little easier to, you know, mask things. But it's scary what they're going to be able to do with this in the future. You're not going to know what's real.
Yeah, I look at the like this new Unreal Engine that's out, and I've seen the demos of it and things where they're just it's a first person viewer. They're just walking through the terrain. I can't tell a difference from that
phenomenal.
Or it is. It's incredible. I can't tell a difference between that and if somebody was standing there with like a GoPro or something. I can't tell a difference.
I've taken screenshots of video games from like 5 years ago, and I've shown it to people that aren't real big video gamers, and they ask me where that's from.
Yeah.
Like where did I visit in person to take the photo in person? They don't realize it's a video game. They think it's somewhere on the planet.
Yeah, and that's from years ago.
Yeah, that's what's crazy is that's 5 years ago. Now the way technology is advancing, and especially AI, it's going to be a lot more difficult to tell what's real and what's fake.
Indeed. All right, my friend, we're going to have to call this one done. I will see you later on in the week, and you will be joining us for the roundtable this week. So we will all be looking forward to that. That'll do it for us for today. Thank you for being here today, my friend. Thank you to all of the listeners. God bless everyone, and have a great evening.